The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Good morning. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. I know I sure did, and I'm just so thankful for all the Lord has done this year. This has been a wild and crazy year. We all know that. It's been up and down. We've had good news. We've had bad news. But God has been in it all. And I am so thankful. And so this year, we had some Christmas music to start. And we're thinking, I'm sure some of you were thinking, Christmas was last week. It's over. You know, and I know, like, when people start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving, I'm like, come on. We haven't even celebrated Thanksgiving yet. But this year, for me, was different. I know in the past I've gotten a little disgruntled maybe about hearing too much Christmas music or the fact that the Christian radio stations just switched completely over to Christmas music. But this year for me, the songs took on new life. Really, it's the same words that have been there all along, but I began to see them from a more worshipful perspective. I began to look at the lyrics and really just think about Jesus, the Lord, the King, my Savior, and began to worship Him through these timeless Christmas songs. And so thank you, Andrew, for keeping some Christmas songs in this morning. And so I hope you all got what you wanted for Christmas. If you didn't, well, I guess you could go to the store and buy it yourself. But this year was special because my family, the gifts that they gave each other and me this year were super thoughtful. They weren't just stuff. We didn't just get stuff that was like, okay, well, I'll use this and forget about it. But super thoughtful. And I so appreciate that. But as I began to think through Christmas and just begin to worship Christ more through the music, I'm just so thankful for the greatest gift that we learned about last Sunday evening in Luke chapter 2, where the angels proclaimed that Jesus was born on this day in the city of David, that they would find Jesus in a manger, a baby in swaddling cloths, that Jesus came. And it sounds cliche, I'm sure, by now, but Jesus, He is the greatest gift that could ever be given or ever be received. And so don't let just hearing it over and over again numb your brain, but take it to heart and gather it for yourself and realize who He is. And so today I want to focus on worshiping Christ through this season and through our lives and through our daily everything. And so you're going to hear a lot today about worship. So turn with me, or we'll have it up on the screen in a moment, Psalm 95. I'd like to read some verses before we get into this. Psalm 95, starting with verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Let us come and worship and bow down. And we learned last Sunday evening, Pastor Byron talked about Luke chapter 2, and we're going to turn there, so if you want to turn there now, you can. But in Luke chapter 2, we have this scene where the shepherds were, and the angels came and they appeared. And the angels came and visited these shepherds. Let's jump right into the text. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I wanted to stop and think about that. How many times have we read Luke chapter 2 and been like, okay, it's the Christmas story? Stop and think about that for a moment. I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen an angel appear. Look, if an angel appeared before me, I would probably drop down and die. And this angel appears to them, and it says, take note of the words here. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Pause and think about that for a moment. The angel appeared, but the glory of the Lord shone around them. So you've got this magnificent creature, this angel, but then the glory of the Lord. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I want to take you super quick. The verses are going to pop up on the screen. So if you're taking notes, write them down. We're not going to turn to these passages right now. I'm just going to read them for you because we're going to go through this super quick. But a journey through the Bible of different encounters that men had with God. I want to pause and think about that for a moment. So if we look at Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, Moses encountered God at the burning bush. God told him, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am, that's God, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses, what did he do? He hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. He was in the presence of God, and he was afraid to look, and he hid his face. He had to take his shoes off, because the ground was holy because God was there. Not because if there was anything sacred or special about the ground, just like there's not anything sacred or special about this building. But God was there. And guess what? He's here now. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through these. Later on in Exodus 33, verses 18 to 23, Moses asked God, please show me your glory. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God, when Moses asked him to show him his glory, God hid him in the cleft of a rock and covered him. Now there's a picture there. And we're not going deep into it, but I'll just throw it at you just because it's there. The picture of who's our rock? Christ. Jesus Christ is called our rock. He's the rock of our salvation. And when we're hidden in him, we can boldly come into the presence of God before the throne of grace. God has provided the way. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, set the scene. It's the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah finds himself in a place where he's kind of like, man, the king's dead. What am I going to do? There's no king. And he's in the temple, and suddenly he's in the presence of God. And there's two seraphim, two angels with six wings. Two, they covered their eyes. Two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And they called out to each other back and forth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the temple shook. the foundation shook, the doorposts, everything shook and quaked. Isaiah was in the presence of the king. He was in the presence of God. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was in the presence of God. And he felt as if he couldn't even stand. He couldn't even be there. He needed to be cleansed. Fast forward to the New Testament. Saul, later known as Paul, in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 9, he's on his way to Damascus. He's a persecutor of the Jews. He's killing Jews. He's got a letter that he's going to bring the Jews, or the Christian Jews, rather, to prison or to kill them or to persecute them. And it says, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless. Hearing the voice but seeing no one, Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. He was radically changed after that. Radically changed. He went from being the chief persecutor of the Jews to the Christians. Why do I keep saying Jews? To Christians, to one who is the most prolific writer. He wrote so much of the New Testament. Radically changed by the encounter that he had with Jesus. Simon Peter in Luke 5:8. Now this is after they had been out all night fishing and catching nothing. They were exhausted, they were tired, they wanted to come in, and Jesus wants to go out on the boat with them, and he tells them, cast your net one more time, and Peter's like, well, they didn't get anything all night, but sure, why not? And he cast the net out, and he brings in this tremendous, miraculous catch that he needed help with. The nets were busting, and he needed help with it. And so we pick up there, and it says, but when Simon Peter saw it, the miracle, what Jesus did, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. One more. John. We're working through John. Pastor Byron's been working through the book of John. John wrote the book of John. He wrote the three letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And so in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, John is exiled on the island of Patmos. He is exiled. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't crucified. He wasn't put to death for his faith. They were like, just get rid of this guy. He's talking too much about Jesus. Just send him off to some island. It says, while exiled on the island of Patmos, he wrote, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. Take a moment to think about that imagery. Think about that for a moment. Jesus was there. He had a long robe, a golden sash. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. So try to picture this in your head. And this is John doing his very best to describe this amazing sight that he sees. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. Anybody here ever been to Niagara Falls or anything like that? Anything monstrous? Okay, good. it's been probably 24 years since we were there. When we lived in New York, we went up north and went up to Niagara Falls. And the falls are impressive. They're amazing to see the amount of water just flowing. But what impressed me most and what stands out to me to this day is as you are approaching them, you're not even close, but as you're approaching them, you can hear the sound of the water roaring, falling down the falls. It's a tremendous sound, and it just gets louder and louder and louder as you approach. This is, I believe, what John is saying. This is the best way he could describe that, is that his voice was like that, like roaring, like unbelievable. This is our God. This is our Lord. This is that baby Jesus we just celebrated. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That's Jesus. To have an encounter with the living God is to be changed. How can we have an encounter with that? Think through all those people we just talked about and not be affected by who he is and not want to fall on our knees and just worship him for who he is. He is God. And we see this over and over and over again in Scripture. People just falling down as if dead whenever they have an encounter with the living God. Whenever they come into his presence. And when we come here, church, we are in his presence online right now. You are in his presence worshiping him through the word. And I thank you again, Andrew, for the music. Because that's another way by which we could come into his presence and just worship him for who he is and what he has done. So last week, again, back in Luke chapter 2, let me pick up back there again. We see the shepherds have this experience. And they fall down and they were worshiping. And we saw this. Pastor Byron played a video clip Sunday night from The Chosen. It was their pilot episode called The Shepherd. I hadn't seen it. That was the first time I had seen it. And when the angels appeared to these shepherds, you could see them just crying out to God, covering their faces, covering just in awe because the glory of the Lord was there. They were in the midst of God when the angels appeared. And the angels, they came to proclaim this message of hope. You see, we don't have Christmas for gifts. We don't have Christmas for Santa Claus and Elf on the Shelf and all these other things that we do. Or maybe some of you do. We have Christmas because of the good news that Jesus was born. Let's take a look at verses 10 to 14. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. That's you. That's not just those shepherds. That's not just those in the first century. That's not just the Jews. That's you and me. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, okay, wait for it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So we just got like angel scene amped up. Like it just went from like one angel, oh my goodness, I am freaked out, to a multitude of angels proclaiming glory to God, worshiping God. Why? For the good news. For the good news that's available to every one of us here. It's good news. It's not just like, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's good news. A multitude of angels just join in, and how awesome that must have been. Imagine these shepherds had to have been changed. Now, we saw in that video clip where they went running into Bethlehem to go see the scene, right? So let's see what the scripture says here. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. They didn't just like, hey, let's pick up the house first. Okay, they were out in the field. There was no house to pick up, right? But we don't even hear mention of them doing anything with the sheep. They went with haste. They booked it. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. So they told Mary and Joseph everything the angels just told them. My goodness, can you imagine being Mary and Joseph at this moment? These shepherds, all dirty and scraggly from being out in the field with the sheep, come bustling in. They just gave birth. But what does it say Mary did? It said, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She held them near and dear. She recognized this baby is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one they had been waiting for. We wait for him today too, don't we? We wait for him to come again. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Can you imagine the excitement? The Messiah is born, the chosen one, the holy one, the anointed one, the one that we've been told about our whole lives. He's here. And they had to go and tell. They had to go and tell. And at the end of that video clip, they kept saying repeatedly, people must know. People must know. And we see that. We see in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They went and they told everybody. They told people everywhere what they had seen, what they had heard, that the Messiah was born, that the Christ, the anointed one, the one who had come to save them was here, finally. At last. And they worshiped him. And they worshiped him. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to say this, but Gail had a funny pondering, I think it was last week, where, and I wrote it down here, but I wasn't sure if I was going to say it or not, but she said, imagine, like, the shepherds, kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces going, here comes crazy Uncle Bob again, telling us about the angel and the shepherd and the baby. I highly doubt that they ever shut up about it. You have an angel appear to you. You have an experience with God and you want to tell everybody. You'd be like, hey, I got this sheep here for sale. And did I tell you about what I saw? Right? I mean, imagine. They were excited to tell. They were excited to tell. And so they worshiped the baby Jesus. And we don't just think about him as a baby. We think about him as God, as King, as Lord, as Savior. And he grew to be a man, and he came to not just show us how to live, but he came to die. He came to die for you, for me, for the sin that separates us from God. He came to die. And so I want to look at that a little bit real quick. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I always have to say it. It's after Corinthians. So if you hit Colossians, you went too far. Philippians chapter 2. Start with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Stop there. This is where we see the incarnation, the Jesus coming as a man. He humbled himself from glory. He humbled himself and was born like you and like me, dust of the earth. He was born as a man in the flesh. And he became obedient. Guess what? He was even obedient, kids, to his parents, to Mary and Joseph. He lived this life on this earth like you and me. Tempted in every way that we're tempted, but was yet without sin. He humbled himself. He took on this flesh that so easily trips us up. But he didn't sin. He humbled himself and he became obedient even to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Death on the cross was one of the most horrific and still is one of the most horrific ways to die. I'd personally like to just die in my sleep and not feel anything. Maybe I'm a chicken, I don't know, but if anybody else is with me, yeah. But he laid his life down. He willingly went to the cross. He submitted himself and became obedient even to those men who were beating him unjustly because he was without sin. There was no reason for him other than the reason he came. To rescue you and me. To restore a relationship with us and God. That same relationship that was broken in the garden. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And he will accomplish his work. And so, he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And now this is where we see it. There's the therefore. You know, Pastor Byron loves those conjunctions, right? He's got them to stick in my head too. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wait a second. Everybody's going to proclaim Jesus as Lord? Everybody's going to bow down? Yeah. But those of you, those of us that have placed faith in him now while we're alive, well, we'll be praising him and worshiping him for all eternity with him. But those who did not, who rejected him, who said, no, I'd rather do this my way. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I could do this my own way. Or those who said, I could say this prayer or do this deed or serve in this way or be a good guy. That's paramount to rejecting him as well, because that's not receiving him for him. They will still acknowledge him as Lord. They will still bow the knee and worship him as Lord, but it'll be too late for them. Because they'll spend an eternity suffering the wrath of God in the midst of recognizing who he is. I think that is probably one of the hardest punishments one could receive, is to know the truth, but it's too late. It's too late. And to know the truth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, And it's too late. You can't, there's no do-overs. There's no take-backs. It's done. And so today is the day of salvation. Now is the day to surrender to Christ, because there will be a day where he will be worshipped by everybody. And so, what is our response as believers? What can we do right now as believers in the Lord Jesus? Now, I want you all to turn to Psalm 95 with me. We'll go through this together. Psalm 95. O come, believer, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Did you hear that? It doesn't say, let us just drag our feet in and have a seat and murmur, murmur, murmur. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. It's what he deserves. For the Lord is a great God. Amen? He is a great God. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. And I know there's a lot of hurt. And I know there's a lot of pain. And I know there's a lot of struggles. But the Lord is a great God. And a great king above all gods. In his hands, his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. He is creator, sustainer. We just sang that. Ruler of all. He's the king. You know, we're in the midst of this election turnover and just all this stuff going on. And like King Uzziah in the days of Isaiah, God is still on the throne. He is still king. And he's got it all in his hands. So how do we respond? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. And we are believers, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We come before him as believers, and we're called to bow down and worship him, to humble ourselves before him, to submit to him. To kneel is a posture of submission. We are at his mercy when we're on our knees. There's nothing I could bring to the table. There's nothing I could do when I am bowed down, when I have my face covered on the ground. I acknowledge that he is God, he is king, and he is Lord of all, and he's got it all in his hands. Come and worship him. Surrender it all to God. Surrender it all. All those things that we hold on to, all those treasures that he has blessed us with, are not what we're to worship. We're to surrender them. Our family, our pride, ourself. We like to take care of ourselves. We like what we like. And so we take care of ourselves. Nobody likes to hurt. We surrender self to him. We surrender our jobs, our careers. He's the one who gave them to us. Our marriages. Everything we hold near and dear, he wants us to give to him. When we submit, when we bow, when we come to worship him. And whatever we worship in place of him, we make God in our lives. But it's a small g. It's an idol. It's a worthless idol. It's fake. And it only leads us away from the one true God. So whatever it is that you're holding on to, whatever it is that's keeping you from letting go and just worshiping God, from having that awesome experience of him just being in the presence of him, let it go and give it to him. He is our God. He is our maker. He is our everything. He tells us the psalmist tells us, let us come in verse 2 into his presence with thanksgiving. You ever think that thanksgiving is a form of worship? But it is. To give God thanks for what he has blessed us with, to be thankful to God, is worshiping him. When we're not thankful, we're actually, in a way, spitting in his face and rejecting the blessings that he has bestowed on us. He wants us to be thankful. We see that again. We're going to go to another place. I should have forewarned you, we're going to be in a lot of different scriptures today. Romans chapter 1, where we are going to see that every one of us is a worshiper, whether it's of God, of self, of man, of things. Every one of us is a worshiper. Revelation chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I knew that was the wrong place. Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18. We're going to read 18 to 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made, so they are without excuse. Ever since the beginning of time, God has what theologians like to call, given us general revelation. We have special revelation, which is God's word. Jesus appeared, gave us his word, gave us himself. But general revelation is, you can look outside, you can look at the trees, you can look at the sun, you can look at the stars in the night, you can look at those stars, those planets that came together. You can look at your own body and the blood vessels and arteries and the nervous system and our brains that are faster than any computer we could develop. And know two things. One, there is a God. There is somebody bigger and greater that had to have made this outside of me. And we can also know that he is all-powerful. Two things we can know. There is a God, and that this God is all-powerful. He is much greater. He is much more powerful than anything and everyone and anything that I can imagine. And so, continuing on in Romans, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Did you hear that? That sounds like a common thing. We just heard that in Psalm 95. We're to come and be thankful. They were not thankful. They knew who God was, but they were not thankful. They did not honor him as God. They did not acknowledge him as God. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Jump with me to verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. We see that all the time. Your truth is your truth. You can believe what you want. What's good for you is good for you, but what's good for me is good for me. No. We can't trade the truth for a lie. We can't believe that what you believe, even though I know there's evidence against it that it is not true, that I'm going to say, okay, that's true for you. That's relative truth. That does not make sense. If I were to tell you, this is soft, you can't even hear a thing. You'd be like, you're a liar. I could hear and I could see that it's a hard surface and it's making noise. Oh no, but I believe that for myself. So it's got to be true for me. And you got to accept that. They exchanged the truth for a lie, and they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. And they served And it says they exchanged the truth of God about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We're all worshipers. Every one of us was made as a worshiper. What are you worshiping today? Who are you worshiping today? We're all worshiping something. If we're not worshiping the living God, we're worshiping something else. And it could be the God of our own imagination. It could be, like Psalm says, that they thought God was like themselves. That we make God in our own image. That we make God to be the God that we want, the God that we are comfortable with. Oh no, God is all powerful. And the wrath of God is coming against those who suppress the truth. He's coming against those who don't put their faith and trust in Christ. And that's the truth. It's a hard truth. But remember, the shepherds said, the people must know. And guess what? Everyone must know who Jesus is. So they worshiped the Creator, the creature rather than the Creator. Examine for yourselves today. Are you thankful? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you had an experience like Moses, Isaiah, Peter, John, Paul? If you have, worship Him. Worship Him. I highly doubt that any one of those people we read through were like, yeah, I just don't feel like it today. I'm in the presence of God, but no, I just don't feel like it today. No way. If Jesus were to come and stand right here, guess what? He is here today. But if we were to visibly be able to see Him, there's no way we would be ho-hum about worshiping Him. Every one of us would be cowering and lifting up our hands and worshiping Him. And we all worship in different ways, but worship Him. Worship Him. He is worthy. He is to be exalted. His name is to be exalted. We sang that today. Worship Him. Apart from Christ, all we can know is the judgment of God. Any works that we bring to the table, anything we do, any amount of anything that we think or say or do that is apart from Christ is just stacking up wrath against the day of judgment. He wants you, He wants me to have a real relationship with Him. That's not just like, hey, yeah, I read my Bible once in a while. I might say some prayers here or there. And I go to church most days. Yeah. He wants a real relationship. Look around at your family. You have real relationships with these people. You don't just randomly visit them and talk to them and occasionally say hi to them. No. You have a relationship with them. The Lord wants the same from us. He wants that restored. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Do you have faith today? Do you believe that He exists and that He rewards those that seek Him? Are you seeking Him? Has He changed you? Have you had a day where you met Him? He sacrificed it all for you. He gave it all to you. I'm going to skip the passage there. Let's look at what that looks like. Just go a few chapters later to Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, Paul is writing here to the Roman church, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That sure doesn't sound like just do the minimum and I'm good. And then the rest of my life is me and my job and my family and everything I do. That sure sounds a whole like He wants all of you. He wants all of me. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Are you presenting yourself holy and acceptable to Him? It could only be done through the Spirit of God. only be done by Him changing our lives and spending time with Him. We can't do that on our own. This is not behavioral modification. I'm going to be a good boy today. No. It's allowing Him to change you in the Word, in prayer, spending time with Him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, do not be conformed to this world. The world, and we're all in it. We're here, but we're not to be just like the world. But we're to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He wants to transform your life. He wants you to come before Him and worship Him as a new, transformed life. The angels rejoiced. The angels proclaimed the good news. We're to proclaim the same good news. We're to tell people. And you know what? If you have not repented of your sin, if you have not given your life to Christ, because the fact is this, every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us deserves to be punished for our sin by default. We learned about that in John chapter 3, that we are condemned already just for being who we are. That it's only through Christ that we can have life. The angels rejoice that day. And the angels rejoice every time a sinner repents. Can you imagine? They throw a party up in heaven and rejoice. Maybe like we saw with the shepherds. Maybe bigger. Maybe like we see in Revelation 5, where they sat around, they were all around, and myriads and myriads and myriads of angels, that's thousands upon ten thousands upon ten thousands of angels, worshipped the Lord. I don't know, but they rejoice. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says that, if you want to look that up. Luke 15, 10. And so, if you have not given your life to Christ, today is the day. If you want to know what it really is like to worship, to have an experience with the living God, today is that day. Don't wait. Don't let another moment go by. You're not guaranteed another moment or another day or another year. Today is that day. Surrender to Him and submit to Him. And those of you that know Him, He wants you to come boldly and worship Him. Your whole bodies, everything. To give it all to Him. To surrender it all to Him. In closing, I want to read a quote to you from this book I had to read for school, Six Views on Exploring the Worship Spectrum. And one of the editors in the conclusion wrote, "The truth that grasps me, that will not release me, is this. God is past finding out. He's more powerful and holy and gracious than we can imagine. Beyond our highest thoughts, deeper than our most intense emotions, this is our God. Yet, He calls us to worship Him. Such is the challenge before us. We humans, mortal, flawed, fallen creatures that we are, offer worship to God, the eternal, perfect, all-wise Creator and Lord. So, we don't have to come to church. We don't have to come and worship Him. Change your mindset. We get to. What a privilege that flawed humans like us get to come before the most holy God and not die and worship Him and give Him what He is due. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to read Psalm 95 one more time as we close. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And one more verse. The end of 7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you have not given your life to Christ, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Surrender to him. So my challenge to you today and as we go into this new year is, believer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything you have. Worship him. Praise him. Lift him up with everything you have. If you don't know him, surrender to him today. And the final thought, if you know him, that worship, that praise is just going to ooze out of you. It's going to overflow everywhere you go. And what are you going to do? You're going to tell everybody, like the shepherds probably went to their grave telling people about what they experienced that day. It just came out of them. It couldn't stay in, I imagine. And that ought to be us today. If you've had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has saved you, worship him. Tell everybody about him so they can worship him too. In a moment, the worship team is going to come up and we're going to have a time of response. And I want you all to hear this. That time of response is not a time to stretch your legs. It's not a time to go to the bathroom. If you really have to go, please don't hold it in. But it is a time to worship the Lord, your God, your Maker. It is a time to recognize that we are on holy ground before God and to take that time and to hear his voice and what he has to say through the song, through the message, through the Holy Spirit working in your hearts and your lives. If you run out of here during that time, the busyness of your day started. Let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit sink into you during that time. And I'll be up here with my wife, Gail, receiving you for prayer. If you want to come up and pray, if you want to give your life to Christ, you could do it in your seat right there, right now. Or you could come up and we'll have a talk with you and pray with you. And it's not our prayer that saves you. It's your prayer of repentance and of faith and believing. And if you just want prayer over anything, or rejoice with us and give us a praise to pray over, you can. And if you're online or if here you just don't feel comfortable doing that, you could email us prayer@rclacombe.org and the staff here will pray over that for you. We take this seriously. Prayer before the living God. We get to do that. And so when they come up and start playing, we'll have that time after I close this in prayer to do that. If you want to sit and quietly reflect in your seats, please spend the time with the Lord. We'll probably stand and sing the song. If you want to sit and just worship, if you want to fall on your knees, whatever posture you want to take before the Lord. It's not about me or Andrew or anybody up here. It's about you and God. So today, do business with God, whatever that looks like. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that he came, Lord, for us to save us, Lord, to, as John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, he came to die to pay the price that we cannot pay, to do the work that we could not do, to give us a restored relationship with you, O God. And so, Lord God, I pray that those that are here today will have heard your voice and not mine, that they would surrender to you, God, and that they would give their lives to you, O Lord, for you are holy, you are mighty, and you are our God. And so today, Lord God, I ask you to, Father, lead people in repentance. If there are any here that don't know you, here or online, or have not put their faith and trust in you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that today would be that day. And Lord God, I pray that you would bring us all to a place of submission before you. I pray, God, that you would do what you do in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.